What are the biggest questions for the Baltimore Ravens as they head into their 2023 offseason? We talk about that and more coming up next year on this episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. Welcome into another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we're here as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today, making us your first listen. We are free and available on all platforms, including over in video form on YouTube. In today's episode of Locked On Ravens is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 or promo code Locked On. That is PrizePicks.com. Promo code Locked On, and we are back continuing to trek through this first week of the Ravens offseason. It was an unfortunate loss to Cincinnati in the wild card round. And here to talk about the biggest questions for the Ravens as they head into this, I think, pretty important offseason, is Kyle Barber, the managing editor over at Baltimore Beatdown, also writes Late for Work for BaltimoreRavens.com. And Kyle, this is, I think, again, a very important offseason for the Ravens. Plenty of questions, stuff that we have been talking about for not even months, but years now in terms of Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about offensive questions and defensive questions. But the fact of the matter is there are plenty of questions this team has to answer moving forward.
Yeah, there's a lot to stem from, and it kind of all started at the beginning of this season when Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens could not come to an agreement on a contract extension, and Eric DaCosta released a statement right before week one that they couldn't reach that, and instead he's going to be playing out the season on that, and that was unfortunate. Now it's the end of the season, and contract negotiations are going to start back up. Eric DaCosta is probably going to talk a lot about that, I believe, when this is released today then. And we're going to hear more from Eric and John on that front. The questions surrounding the offensive coordinator, as you and I and everybody have seen on social media, there's a fan base that's frustrated with Greg Roman, and we'll see if he remains the offensive coordinator for the Ravens for the foreseeable future, and many others that I assume we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, we'll start off with offense, and that's the whole, you know, I wanted to make this a biggest question show because John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta will be answering questions here today on Thursday. So let's start on offense, and you talked about Lamar Jackson. It's been a topic of conversation for what feels like forever now. And now we are in the offseason where Lamar Jackson is a pending unrestricted free agent. There has been no extension. There's been no franchise tag, but there are questions and a lot of reports, a lot of speculation about will he be in Baltimore long term? Is there a trade that's going to happen? Where is Lamar Jackson going to be playing in 2023? So, Kyle, what's your take on the Lamar Jackson situation and where do you think he is playing in 2023?
I think it's hard to envision him elsewhere, just for the sake that the Ravens know his value more than any other NFL team. They know what he delivers. They know what they can expect of him. And so it's hard to envision him going elsewhere, but under what price tag is really what it comes down to. And the guaranteed money is always going to be the most talked about discussion in regards to the contract, because it was reported that Lamar wanted a fully guaranteed deal, that the NFLPA was pushing for him to get a fully guaranteed deal after watching Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson get that, you know, the trade with the Houston Texans and signs a fully guaranteed extension. And that's kind of the bar for Lamar Jackson at that point. And that's what he's kind of pursuing. We don't know a whole lot just because Lamar Jackson's party and company is completely silent, which is rather wise to not have a bunch of things leaked out to every, you know, to national reporters or to anywhere else. And the Ravens respect his privacy and don't do, you know, a bunch of leaking themselves. So I envision that he's here, but I'm not going to say that it's impossible that he's elsewhere. A franchise tag and trade is certainly an option, and the market for a team to want him and to pay him. You saw what happened with Watson to get traded and signed elsewhere. You know, there's teams that feel a quarterback away that could most certainly be an option. But just covering this team, it's hard to imagine him not on the field come 2023.
Yeah, and I think with Lamar, you know, you mentioned that to know his value. I agree with that. But also, you know what he can provide on the field in terms of he is one of the best quarterback options in the league. And if you go away from that, would another young quarterback be able to come in and be Lamar Jackson? I think there's only one Lamar Jackson. You know, he is unique in his own right. But he provides, I think, a safe floor for you with the ability. He's only 26 right now. He's still, I think, still going to get better. And I know there have been questions about the injuries over the past two seasons and, you know, what is his play style? But those injuries both happened throwing the football. You know, these weren't running injuries. And I know a lot of the questions surrounding that. So I also think, Kyle, that it's hard to see him elsewhere. I think it'd just be so weird. It's kind of like it's not quite, you know, depending on who you talk to. The Ed Reed in a Texans jersey and in a Jets jersey, it's kind of just weird to see those pictures. And so I feel like with Lamar, if he was in like a Jets jersey, I'd just be like, this does not feel right. Like it just feels right that he's in a Ravens jersey moving forward. So we'll see what happens. But I know we'll also see, Kyle, about Greg Roman in his future in Baltimore. Feels like the writing's on the wall that maybe he won't be back, but obviously there's been no confirmation about that yet. My gut feeling, you know, nothing that I've heard or anything like that, is that he's probably not back. His contract is expired. So for Baltimore, it's a matter of do they want to continue the Greg Roman direction or do they not want to do that? So where's your feeling about whether Greg Roman will be back in Baltimore?
Yeah, part of the thing that you said is his contract's up. I haven't got confirmation on that. I was kind of searching that one out and trying to figure it out because it's you know, the Ravens have never been an organization that releases the details of any coordinator's contract. That's not something that they necessarily release. So I'm uncertain if it actually is. I haven't gotten true confirmation on that from what I've been reaching around, you know, reaching out to others and trying to figure out the actual information regarding it. But because to my knowledge, I don't think it actually is. I think it's a team option thing, is what I was hearing. So he does technically like have a year on it, but it's a team option thing where they split up. But that also like is unconfirmed. I frustratingly have been trying to figure it out. I can't solve it because the Ravens don't give details of their coordinator contracts and can't blame them. But overall, regardless, the Ravens seem like they're going to be parting ways. And this is all speculation, but when you have so much frustration from a fan base and you have problems that seem to be persisting in an offense that have been published about specifically with, you know, Roman throughout his tenure, not only with the Ravens, but with other franchises and other organizations and similar issues stem up throughout them. You wonder, do a time for this to be a separation point. And it feels that way just from fans and from an organizational standpoint, maybe, you know, you need to have new blood induced in that, you know, it kind of felt the same way with Don Wink Martindale. Martindale's a great coach. He's a talented coach. He's smart. You know, he helped bring the New York Giants into the playoffs this year and they're moving on to the divisional round. So it's not that he was a bad coach. You know, there's a point where teams need to separate themselves from a person or a coach or a player. And this kind of feels like the same thing that, you know, the combination is no longer reaching its potential that was the hope initially.
Right. I realize I misspoke when I asked the question. I meant to say it's been floated out there that Roman's contract has expired. But I think with Roman, we've just seen so many of the same things pop up with him in terms of time management. And John Harbaugh, you know, during one of the games later in the season said, you know, we got to, you know, get this going. And in that game, the time management was fine, but then it kind of slipped a little bit again towards the end of the season. I know play calling has also been very questionable at times and just the personnel even. I mean, we see J.K. Dobbins speak out about his role, especially in the red zone in that playoff game. So it just feels like the relationship has kind of gone stale and it feels like the Ravens do need something new there, but we'll see what they end up doing. And I know, Kyle, the Ravens wide receiver position, stop me if you've heard this one before. It's been a topic of conversation for years and years and years and years and years. And here it is again. The Ravens decide to trust their young guys in 2022. And they lose both Rashad Bateman and Devin Duvernay to injury, something that really they couldn't afford whatsoever to even lose one of those guys based off of what they did early and for Duvernay a little later into the year. So there's been speculation. I think a big question for me is, do they finally go, I don't want to say all in, but do they finally get that number one receiver? And I know a lot of it probably does hinge on Lamar Jackson and kind of, is he back or is he not? But do they go out there and get a DeAndre Hopkins? Is it a Brandon Cooks that comes to Baltimore. What's your feeling on what Baltimore could do this offseason wide receiver-wise through free agency or trading or even the draft?
Right. Well, as you said, they entrusted their young wide receivers, which I didn't have too much of a problem with because it made sense. Like, hey, you drafted all of this talent. It's time for them to show out. But the problem is you are one Rashad Bateman injury away from great complications here with your wide receiver room to where you're going to have to probably look into free agency or waiver claims. And that came true. And that's what the fault really feels like. And you lose Duvernay, and then you don't see the development that you were hoping from your younger wide receivers the longer the season wore on. We didn't see James Roche really step up. Tylan Wallace was off and on injured reserve and didn't make a whole lot of plays. And the one opportunity he had was an overthrown ball on like a fourth down that he could have scored a touchdown on. And so, you know, he just wasn't able to make that happen. And that was by no fault of his own on that play. But overall, what this team must do is solve the depth of this. You can't rely on a 36-year-old DeSean Jackson. You can't hope that somebody comes down from free agency or through waiver claims or you can pick up off of waivers or sign a player due to being cut like they had with Sammy Watkins. You have to go out and land somebody just for the sake of improving this offense. You have the defensive core. It's incredibly talented. They added even more and then signed it with Roquan Smith, of course. So they have the pieces in place defensively to go out there and continue to, you know, throttle teams, to be quite honest. But offensively, you have to be able to put the foot down and push the ball downfield. And I think that's going to happen probably through the draft, which is not the most exciting thing because that's all about potential instead of a player that you have known quantities with, like DeAndre Hopkins. It's just hard to see them being able to afford somebody like DeAndre Hopkins. Though, you know, I'd love to see, you know, Nuke up there catching touchdown passes in a Ravens jersey. That sounds fantastic, but it's a lot of money and draft capital. And the Ravens have neither. They have only 5 draft picks, you know, this season. Of course, you could trade other picks, you know, far in the future, but that's less valuable to have. Teams want more of it, you know, immediately, especially the Cardinals. And so overall, the Ravens don't have a lot of cap space. They don't have a lot of draft picks. So I think they're going to have to make do with that. And I don't see a huge name coming this way, but I think there's optimism that the Ravens understand how important it is to focus on pass, you know, catchers.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it would continue a trend. The Ravens taking Marquise Brown in the first round of 2019. And then you have the Ravens with Rashad Bateman in 2021. So if there was a first round wide receiver in 2023, it would be every 2 years for the past 6 years. Baltimore invests a first round pick at that position. But coming up in our second segment, we'll be diving into some defensive questions. We'll talk Calais Campbell, Roquan Smith, Marcus Peters, and more coming up next year in our second segment of Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online, and BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from the football playoffs to basketball. They've got it all over at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today, use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back here with our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with Kyle Barber of Baltimore Beatdown and BaltimoreRavens.com. And Kyle, for defense, we saw the Ravens go out there. They made the splash in Roquan Smith. And so let's start there. Obviously, a seamless fit. Came in and just did his thing. He was a 2-time All-Pro at 20, now 3-time All-Pro at 20, now 5 years old. He's somebody who I think was the acquisition. I was looking for a wide receiver at the deadline, but I understood if they were to go in a different direction, like an inside linebacker. You pair that with Patrick Queen, and Smith just elevated the entire defense. But there are questions, and this is more of a long-term question, not necessarily a 2023 question, for what the future is with both Smith and Queen at the middle linebacker position in terms of, will they be able to even afford paying Queen? And again, this is like down the line, but do you get a feeling that Baltimore would pay? And I think Queen's going to get a pretty hefty extension. I don't think it's going to be necessarily team friendly. I think he's played well enough. Do you feel like for the Ravens will be able to keep both of those guys? Smith is already in a contract, but what do you think the future for Queen is in Baltimore?
I think, of course, the attempt is to re-sign a player that they spent a first round draft pick on, that they've developed into this, you know, player. and added pieces around him to improve him. You know, that was a move that they made to improve Patrick Queen's ability as well as the entire defensive structure. You know, that wasn't a sole acquisition just for defense, but it was also to benefit Patrick Queen. So I think they would probably want to improve on that front. But I think it's going to be very challenging to re-sign Patrick Queen. You have just signed a middle linebacker to the most expensive contract, the richest contract in NFL history for an off-ball linebacker. You know, $20 million a year, $100 million. That's a hefty chunk of change. Queen, I don't think, can command that amount of money. He doesn't have two second-team All-Pros and a first-team All-Pro in the same way. I don't believe, you know this was Roquan's first Pro Bowl as well. He won every linebacker award that he could. He won the Butkus Award. I mean, he was just having, you know, he won Defensive Player of the Month at one point. He was just outstanding and a caliber that we don't see in the NFL from middle linebackers anymore. So Queen is not on that level, and I think that's fair to point out. And that's not a degrading point either, because he's still a very talented linebacker, and we saw the improvement of his play with the addition of Roquan Smith. So I think they are going to plan to keep him, but I think they're wise enough to know that you can't break the bank on two middle linebackers while you have such a tremendous positional value now on cornerbacks, on somebody that they've already spent a bunch of money on Marcus Williams on the back end. You need edge rushers, and you can't do a bunch of, you can't go cheap on edge rushers in the NFL. You're going to have to spend big money if you want to have a talented one, or you got to hit on your young, talented draft picks. And Adafi Owe struggled in 2022, didn't have the sack numbers many expected, didn't have the production that many expected. And you hope that him and tandem with David Ajabo next year will operate. So I think a lot of it comes down to money. And if Patrick Queen wants to get paid, it won't be in Baltimore. If he's looking for anywhere 16 to 18 million, I think it's hard to argue him receiving that amount of a payday when you see Roquan, the best of the best, get 20 million a year. He can't command that amount of money and stay in Baltimore.
Right. And I think, especially if Lamar and the Ravens are able to reach a long-term agreement, we've seen before where you can't keep everybody. You know, the Ravens lost Darius Smith in free agency. They lost Matthew Judon in free agency. Those are talented players, and they're showing it with their other teams. So for Queen, I do think it would be a matter of would he take a team-friendly deal, but I think the gap between what team-friendly is and what Queen probably commands is probably too much. So I would love to see Patrick Queen back. I think it's valuable to have both Smith and Queen on the same defense, but you know, we still have time with both of them in Baltimore. So I'm gonna try to cherish that, especially while we still have it and know that it's a thing. But I know another big question, Kyle, has been, you know, you mentioned Marcus Williams, the safety position, and Chuck Clark. Clark talked a bit about his future in the end of locker cleanouts. Do you feel like he's back in Baltimore in 2023? I think it's a big question for me.
I think it's tough to envision that he is back, just the way he kind of reacted when asked about it. But you look at his snap numbers. I mean, he was a player for this team. You know, he showed up. I believe he had just about every single snap. I can't remember the exact percentage. I think he was incredibly high up there, and he was utilized effectively. And they drafted the thing that always, of course, is a part of this is Kyle Hamilton. What do they envision his role to be next season? They used him as a slot corner in 2022. That was where he had the most snaps. That's where he was like PFF all rookie team. Was at slot corner, not as a free safety, not as a box safety, but as this third hybrid role player, and was dominant in that role. You know, was one of the highest graded players, was phenomenal, went from this first round bust in training camp to suddenly one of the top safeties of his class and kind of in the NFL when you look at just the utilization difference. But if he's not going to be playing strong safety, if he's not going to be up high and instead he's going to be in the slot role, you need somebody, and that could be Chuck Clark. But you also have Geno Stone. The Ravens really liked what they saw out of Geno Stone. He rotated in when there was injury to Marcus Williams. Instead of having Kyle Hamilton go up top, they still brought it. They brought in Geno Stone, who was, a former sixth, maybe seventh round draft pick a few years ago, and suddenly they have him there. So you want to have Chuck Clark back on this team because he understands the cohesion of this unit. He has busted his butt for this team, and it makes sense to have him back when you have this three safety looks that Mike McDonald likes to utilize with Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, and Kyle Hamilton. But it feels like he might want to go get paid elsewhere. You know, he needs a contract, and the money is, you can only finagle the cap so many ways, as you and I know and understand. And are you wanting to spend that on Chuck Clark, or do you need to save a few million as you rotate things through and try and save for Lamar and your draft picks and other places that you need a little bit extra money toward? And so, from my opinion, I don't think Chuck Clark's back, but I think he's a player that the Ravens probably want back. It's priced out of their range.
Right. And I think it's a huge benefit for them to have Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, and Kyle Hamilton, especially if you continue to utilize Kyle Hamilton, if you're the Ravens like you were doing, where you don't have to play him up high 100% of the time. But if the Ravens do decide to do that, maybe put him in that role a little more, then I think the question becomes, well, Clark probably wouldn't be necessarily overly thrilled with the snaps he'd be losing, or maybe you put him in the box more. I don't know what you do there, but I would like Chuck Clark back in Baltimore, especially if I were the Ravens, but again, we'll see. My gut feeling probably says no right now, but I still think he's super valuable. He's one of the lead, one of the glue guys, I think, on this defense, one of the top glue guys. But I know one of the leaders on that defense, Kyle, is Calais Campbell, and what he's been able to bring to Baltimore in his what seems like such a short amount of time, but it feels like he's been in Baltimore forever, just based off of everything he's done on the field, off the field, as a leader. But obviously, talking about his football future, just finished up year 15. He's going to take some time. It's a process, he mentioned, but he said it would be hard to walk away from the game. So if he returns for year 16, I think it'd be huge for the Ravens. But Kyle, do you think he does return for that 16th season?
I think he wants to return. That's kind of what I gauged when we were asking him that in the media scrum, is like, do you want to be back? And he said, you know, he made it sound like he really wants to, like, fresh off of a playoff loss, it sounded like there's a desire for more. There's a frustration that, you know, I mean, even after the media scrum, you know, standing around, it's like, man, like, you know, a reporter turned to Clay's like, man, I really thought you guys had that game. And he's like, I did too. You know, it sucks. That's football. And you could tell that, like, there's a frustration that, like, he wants to keep playing. He's good enough. He's absolutely good enough to continue playing. But, you know, defensive linemen in football get banged up, and Calais was no exception. At one point, he was injured for a few games. He had a hefty brace on his leg at one point as well. And he spends, I believe it's like six figures on remaining healthy and treatment for his body and upkeep throughout the year as he cares for himself. And that's a lot of process. That's a lot of money. And not that he's short on it, just because he's made, you know, some great contracts, deserved contracts in it. What I'm concerned about more is if he returns to the Ravens, because that's what I asked him when we were in the media scrum was, you know, it's no secret you want to play for a championship team with aspirations. Is your contract kind of tied to Lamar Jackson's, that, you know, if he re-signs here, was that it? And he said, you know, of course it's, you know, it's more of a personal thing than it is about that. But he said, it's no secret that I want to play for a championship team, and Lamar Jackson gives us the greatest chance to be a championship roster. He's like, you know, that's not a secret either. He's like, but I want to play for a championship team. And he's like, you know, and that's, this team does have that with Lamar Jackson. So I think that's a big factor in itself, is that Calais wants to be on a championship team, and, you know, Lamar Jackson is tied to that in certain terms.
Yeah, and that's an exact point I've made this week, where for guys like Campbell, even Justin Houston, you know, if Lamar's not there, I think both of those guys, and completely rightfully so, should be competing for rings. And I think they have a chance to compete for a ring with Lamar there. But if it's a rookie quarterback, if it's a bridge quarterback, I don't know if veterans want to be, you know, if Calais Campbell has one more year, which I feel like if he returned, it would be that one last ride. Would he want to spend it on a team that doesn't necessarily have the pure Super Bowl aspirations, or would you rather go to a Kansas City or a Buffalo or somewhere else where you understand that? So I think a lot of this could be tied to Lamar Jackson and what happens. But coming up in our final segment, we'll be talking a bit about the cornerback situation, some special teams, draft, and more coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Still a lot to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. And if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try at Built Bar. And I know we just got through the holiday season. And for me, one of my goals is to eat a little bit healthier this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat a little healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you in Built. And with Built, healthy is actually really tasty. And what makes them so good is, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. They have only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. You can go to Walmart, pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, you can run in, grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors such as brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. You will not regret it. Go get your hands on some Built Bars today. We return. It is our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Kyle Barber. And Kyle, I have one more defensive question that kind of trickles into the draft a little bit. There's been a lot of controversy on Marcus Peters and how he played in 2022. And now that his contract is up, if the Ravens should bring him back, would it be team friendly? He's been pretty adamant that, you know, he loves Baltimore, has loved his time with the Ravens. I get the sense that he would take a team friendly deal to return to Baltimore. I don't know if you can fully trust him as a number two guy anymore. I think he'd be like that 2-3 hybrid in a perfect situation. But do you feel like Peters has a realistic shot to return to Baltimore? And do you feel like he would take less money, especially considering I think it's a pretty decent likelihood Baltimore takes at least one cornerback pretty high up in the 2023 draft?
Right. I think the Ravens like Peters. I think Peters loves being in Baltimore. He's expressed that on numerous occasions. It all comes down to the money. And the Ravens are going to need him to have a team-friendly deal. That's all there is to it. I'm not sure how much that is. I think at this point he has to sign a one-year contract, not only if he was to stay in Baltimore, but just about anywhere. I think at this point his age and his pedigree and coming off the injury and kind of struggling last year, I think he has to sign a one-year deal. Would he do 1 year, $6 million with the Ravens, or would he prefer to do 1 year, $8 to $10 million somewhere else? You know, I believe the last year of his deal was about $16 million. That's what they're regaining this season by no longer having him on the books. So you can't afford him, I don't think, as a team that's, you know, dealing with so many cap situations and contracts this coming offseason, with the most important one, of course, being Lamar's, as we've spoken ad nauseum. But that's a big factor. And you need to be able to afford, you know, cheaper play. You already have a bunch of money tied up in your secondary with Marcus Williams, and you also have Marlon Humphrey with one of the highest cornerback deals. You can't afford to dump a bunch more into it for free agents. So, one, they're probably going to draft somebody. They need to be able to develop more talented cornerbacks. Even though they took two last year that didn't develop as we kind of expected, you know, at training camp, Damarian Pepe-Williams looked solid, and Jalen Armour-Davis was slowly developing. He was a little bit more raw and was going to take more time. And the, you know, fourth-round picks, you can't expect them to just go out their guns blazing. But, you know, they're going to have to develop some talent and find cheaper deals. And unless Marcus Peters is taking a more team-friendly approach, which I think he would be to an extent, but you got to figure out what those final numbers are before you start saying, yeah, I'll take a team-friendly deal. My gut feeling is he's not back in Baltimore, but I think there is a real opportunity for this team and for Marcus Peters to stay together. But the number is going to be tight on that one.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, and I'm sure the Ravens want to see it too, but back in the days when they had the Marlon Humphrey, Brandon Carr, Jimmy Smiths, and the Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, those solid three corner rotations where you could rotate guys in and out, you could play them all on the field if you really wanted to. For the Ravens this year, it was more, if the Ravens lost Marlon Humphrey at any point, they were, the cornerback room would have been completely toast. There was nothing. And even when they lost Peters, I think that Brandon Stevens did step up and play admirably this season, especially later in the season. It was unfortunate that he was going through what he went through at the end of the season with his illness. But I still think not a full revamp of that room, but I think like a mini revamp where you have Humphrey as your top guy 100%. But then if you take a corner in the first round, like a Joey Porter Jr. or a Clark Phillips, you know, for me, I think that there's a real realistic opportunity for them to take a corner in the first round because they don't have a second round pick, so, right, at least at the time we're talking right now, Kyle. So in terms of what they could do in the draft, that's where I want to go next because they have the 22nd overall pick. I think that it's a prime trade out slot where they could go back to 29 or 30, pick up a second round pick, they don't have a fifth. Well, they have a fifth round pick from the Sean Wade trade from New England a couple years ago, but they traded their other fifth round pick to the Bears in that Smith deal. They're not in line for any compensatory picks. And you mentioned the kind of lack of draft picks they have this year. It feels like 22 could be a trade out spot, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think trade out makes the most sense. Eric is a fan of one trades of any and all kinds, be it trades of players, trades for picks, trades for trades sake. But I think that's a spot that they want to be able to accumulate more draft picks and try and grab more value and more young contracts and young players, which makes sense for the for a team that's hampering with cap situation stuff. 22 is a like you said, it's a prime spot for that exact scenario.
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense. And for me, even if they did that and they trade back to like 29 or 30, I still think for me it'd be corner over wide receiver. But I 100% see if they take wide receiver over corner. Like it would make a ton of sense. But at corner, I mean, I got a question from Bailey Cordell who said, who are the top three corners I'd try to snag at 22 if they went corner over wide receiver? I think Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State, which what a thing that would be if Joey Porter's son came to the Ravens. You know, you see Joey Porter at Ravens games. So I think Joey Porter Jr., Clark Phillips, and Bailey said he's a Ducks fan and he likes Christian Gonzalez. I like Christian Gonzalez too, so maybe those are my three guys. But all right, Kyle, I want to end on special teams. This is where your bread and butter is, I know. The Ravens took a punter in the fourth round, and I know it was a controversial pick at the time in Jordan Stout. Now, you have the Wolfpack, or you had the Wolfpack for so many years in Baltimore, and you know the excellency that came with it in terms of you knew what was happening, the steadiness of Morgan Cox, the steadiness of Sam Cook and Justin Tucker. But now the Ravens, it's still Justin Tucker, and you know he's still the guy. But in terms of Jordan Stout and even Nick Moore, what did you see out of those two, the latter two, and Stout and Moore this year?
Right. First, going over the rookie, Jordan Stout played a solid year, you know, but I don't think he played up to the standards that many had expected and hoped for a fourth round draft pick. That's controversial, and it makes sense after year one that there's frustration that he didn't deliver to the level that you would expect of somebody that a team is spending draft capital on you and prioritized you because they knew a different team was expecting to take a punter, the Minnesota Vikings, who took one, I believe, like six picks later in the draft and wanted him. So I think that's widely important that they saw this as the best punting prospect possible. They knew he could hold. That was going to be obviously a key factor. And instead, he just didn't have the punts and the stats that you would hope of somebody that you spend such draft capital regarding. Nick Moore earned second team All Pro. He was top five, I believe, in AFC in Pro Bowl voting as well. Overall, he's one of the best snappers in the NFL right now. You know, and I asked John about that at one of the podiums after he was announced as the second team All Pro. That you know, Nick Moore was a guy that they acquired after he was out of, I believe, the XFL. When the XFL got shut down, he was playing there. And then the Ravens picked him up, put him on their practice squad with the expanded COVID rules. And they were spending practice protections on throughout that season because you could protect four guys on your practice squad due to COVID restrictions and rules and stuff. And they were using those protections on this long snapper while they actively had, you know, Morgan Cox, who's one of the best snappers in the game and has been for years. They were doing that, and to see kind of that stretch into where he's now the snapper for this team, it shows that like he's dang talented at this position, and there's a reason for it with just the snapping and with his protections that he's utilized and being a part of a special teams unit and a squad that he was able to mesh in so quickly with and continue this streak of dominance by Tucker and the whole kicking situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for, well, I'm hopeful for what Stout can do in 2023. I think that there is he was a rookie, you know, there's plenty of room for improvement in terms of what happens there. But I think for Nick Moore, he was, not that I ever doubted him, but like it was a very pleasant surprise in terms of what he was able to bring to the table. And obviously got rewarded for it, and rightfully so, in my opinion. But Kyle, I appreciate you hopping on. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please tell people where they can find your work and where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle P. Barber. You can read the work of myself, and I have a wonderful staff over at Baltimore Beatdown. And I write the Monday edition of Baltimore Ravens Late for Work on BaltimoreRavens.com. So make sure to check all those out.
Yeah, be sure to check it out. The links to all those will be in the description below, so you can have easy access to them there. But Kyle, again, thank you so much. And that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. When we get back here tomorrow, I'll be rounding out the week, talking about what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say in their Thursday presser and more. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and I will see you right back here tomorrow.